Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18, Text Number 12. This is Lord Vamanadeva, the dwarf incarnation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Pad Bapur Bhati Vibhushanayudher Abhakta Chid Vyaktam Adharayad Dhari Bhavuva Tenoiva Sa Bhammano Bhatu Sampasator Divagatir Yata Nataha Yata Dvapur Bhati Vibhushana Yudhe Avyakta Chit Vyaktam Madharaya Dhari Bhuvatenaiva Savamano Vatu Sampashato Divagatir Jatanata Yatadvapur Bhati Vibhushana Yudhir Avyakta Chitvaktam Madharaya Dari Bhuvatenaiva Savamano Vatu Sampashata Divagati Yatanata Yatava Purvati Vibhushana Yudhe Avyakta Chityaktam Madharaya Tari Bhuvatenaiva Savamano Vatu Sampashata Divargati Yatanata Yatabhubati Vibhushanayate Avyakashityakam Madhariyatari Yatanatha යතත් වපුරපත්ති විභූෂණාය උද ආභ්‍යත්තං චිත්තක්ඛම් මහායතේ අභූවතේනව සම්පන්නෝ with regular ornaments, ayudhaye, with weapons, avyakta, unmanifested, chitvyaktam, spiritually manifested, adharayat, assumed, hari, the Lord, bhavuva, immediately became, tena, with that, eva, certainly, saha, he, the Lord, vammana, dwarf, bhatu, a brahmana brahmachari, sampashato, while both his father and mother were seen, dipyogati, whose movements are wonderful, jata, as, nata, a theatrical actor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace the Bhai Sharanada in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord appeared in His original form with ornaments and weapons in His hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, He sometimes appeared in this form. He nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of His father and mother, He assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Please repeat. The Lord appeared in His original form, with ornaments and weapons in His hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, He nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of His father and mother, He assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word napta is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaita Machutim Anadim Anantarupam Madhyam Puram Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Rama Dimotishu Kalani Natishtan Nanabdharma Kuro Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Nonetheless, although He appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But He can simultaneously assume different forms. When Vamanadeva appeared in the womb of His mother, He appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands, equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed Himself into a brahmachari, batul. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janmakam machami devyam evam yo veditatvata. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Satchit Ananda Vikraha. Om Agyan Smirandasya Jananjanan Shavakaya Tatshura Mimitan Jindata Shmaya Shri Guru. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shri Bhashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today we're celebrating the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva, Brahmachari dwarf, who appeared from the womb of Aditi, who's the mother of the demigods. She made one vrata to have the Lord appear, and she was successful in that vrata, and also her husband, Kashyap Muni. He was very dear to the Lord, and so the Lord decided by his sweet will to appear as their son, as Lord Vamanadeva. So here the Lord first appears in the Vishnu Murti with four arms, with all the symbols, just like Krishna when he appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he appeared in this form of, with four-handed form of Lord Narayana, with all the symbolic weapons. So similarly, Vamanadeva appeared to convince his father and mother that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's pointing out here in the purport that there's only one Lord, there's only one God, there can't be many gods. And he expands into many. Ramadi Murtishu Kalam Nimitishan, you have thousands and thousands of forms of the Lord, like Ram, etc. Prabhupada said, he's playing a part. It's like a theatrical actor. The actor on the stage, he's playing a part very well. And he may play another part also in another play, and then another part in another play. He's a very famous actor. He's very much in demand. And he will portray all these different characters. And they're quite convincing when you're absorbed in watching the drama. But he's the same person when he takes his cloth and his makeup off. He's actually the same person. So, that original person is Krishna. And he expands into many, many unlimited different forms. For pleasure, for enjoying relationships with his devotees. And Prabhupada saying how we should try to understand these appearances of the Lord. Why? Because if we understand why the Lord appears or how he appears, Janmakama Chami Divyam, then you don't have to take your birth again. If you can remember that time of leaving your body, you don't have to take birth again. Janma karma. If you simply understand how the Lord takes birth, One who understands the transcendent nature of my appearance, or his disappearance, or his activities. Any one of these things, if you can remember at the time of leaving your body, you'll go back to Godhead. It's Krishna's promise. You haven't got to remember everything at one time. Just one thing about Krishna. Remembering something about Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Become my devotee, offer worship to me, think of me. Again, just one of those things. Krishna is saying four things there. Become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, and always remember me, always think of me. So just also one of those aspects that Krishna is saying, if you just do one of those, that's sufficient to take you back to Godhead. So Krishna was also just described. What is that? One who knows that the transcendental nature of my appearance. Just previous to that verse, he had described that I come in every millennium in my original transcendental form, which never deteriorates. So this is the nature of Krishna's appearance. It's in eternal form. It's not subject to birth and death, and doesn't deteriorate. So Krishna has a transcendental body. If you can remember that alone, that's sufficient to take you back to Godhead. It's not that Krishna assumes a material body. Krishna says, people who think that I assume a material body, they are less intelligent. It's easier to conceive that God doesn't have a form, and that He assumes a form, because it's very difficult for us to comprehend how a person can have simultaneously one, have many, many forms, but just the same person. We can't have experience of that in this world. You see, generally the tendency is going towards Mayavad understanding. No, he is the all-pervading spirit, and the spirit assumes different forms that you can kind of comprehend a little bit easier. But although it's the understanding is there, the philosophy is there, which is very prominent, not only in Indian philosophy, but all the other philosophies, you'll find that practically, so they're all impersonal in the ultimate issue. Or if not impersonal, then he can only have one form. He can only, those who believe that he has a form, he only has one form. It's difficult to comprehend. He has many, many forms, unlimited forms. So, just like Mayavadis, they will say, no, Krishna assumes a material form. When he comes here, it's the absolute, the Brahman, the absolute truth appears here, and he assumes a form. In the mode of goodness, because he was such a great soul, Krishna was such a great soul, so he took birth in the mode of goodness. This is the biggest mistake in the Mayavadi philosophy. And also, it doesn't work properly, because if you're in the mode of goodness, then certainly you wouldn't be dancing with other men's wives in the middle of the night. So it becomes contradictory for them. No, Krishna, he's in the mode of goodness. Actually, he's a self-realized soul. This is conception. Krishna is an ordinary person, but he's self-realized. So therefore he's in the mode of goodness, or even beyond the mode of goodness. But if he's in the mode of goodness, why is he performing his activities? Activities in the mode of passion. So their philosophy contradicts itself. They can't maintain, they don't have a steady, what's the word? Anyway, so, but if we hear from authorities, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, and from the self-realized devotees, Sukadeva Goswami and the Parampara, then we can quite easily understand how Krishna is not limited by anything. He's not limited by his body. We are limited. So Krishna is unlimited. He has no conception, there is no limitation to Krishna. But in our conception, we can't understand that there's something without limitation. Everything in our experience is limited. Our mind is limited to comprehend so much. So therefore, it's difficult to understand. But if, simply by understanding this this point about Krishna, that he is beyond our comprehension. Krishna is not comprehensible by mundane people. He's way, way beyond our comprehension. This is the basis of actually understanding, for a devotee to understand. If you don't have this understanding, it's very difficult to make progress. You have to understand that from the beginning, God is incomprehensible. I can't comprehend him with my tiny brain, my tiny mind. Then you understand, then you can start to make progress. But if you think you can try to comprehend with your limited senses, then Krishna say, okay, go on, and go on. Try to comprehend me, go on, go on. Pantastu koti vatsara sampragamya vayura tapi manaso munipanam. For thousands and thousands of millions of years, you travel at the speed of mind, trying to approach me. Still, you won't even come close to the effulgence of my toenails by our own endeavor. But if we accept from the beginning, Krishna is, God is incomprehensible. It's a fact. Then you can start to approach the Lord, because it takes a little bit of humility. Someone is incomprehensible. I'm comprehensible. People can comprehend me, but so I'm not so great. But a person who's incomprehensible, he must be great. So it takes a little bit of humility. Okay, we're accepting that there is a person, a supreme, who's incomprehensible. So that puts me a little bit lower down. So with this humility, then you can begin to approach God. So knowledge, in the 20 items of knowledge, it begins with humility. Because if you're not humility, the other 19 aspects of knowledge won't come. So first accept our position and God's position, and then we can begin to understand Krishna by his grace, by his revelation. We can understand by his mercy alone. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would use Vamana Dev example to encourage his preachers. Lord Vamana Dev, another name is Trivikram. He took the three steps. Now he's a little boy, he's 5 years old. A 5 year old boy can't do so much. So he appeared before Bali as a little brahmachari with a munja grass belt and an umbrella and a stick and Brahman thread and a deer skin on his top. And Kopin, his mother gave him Kopin. And, or Aditi gave him Kopin. So, So he was just like a little boy, a dwarf, even not mature. At 5 years old, not very mature, but as a dwarf also. Not mature as a full man, so he's in between. This is the progression in the Dos Avatars. In comparison to the 84 lakh species of life from it, the aquatic life, you get the Matsya avatar then. Barhadev, big boar, touch-up tortoise, the turtle, he goes on land and water. First is aquatics. This is the evolution, first through aquatic life, then through life. Tortoise, he can go on land and water. Kacha, Korma, Kumar Sarira. Then Varaha Dev, Hog, Pig. Then the Shingidev, half man, half lion, missing link. Darwin's theory is the missing link. Half man, half lion. Then Vamana Dev, undeveloped man, because he's a dwarf. Parasuram, man but savage. Killing. Then Ram. Ram is, you know, he's the full manifestation of man. Real man. And Krishna and Balaram also. So that's the progression. So here Vamana Dev, he was dwarf. He takes birth in all species of life. Vamana Dev, he's not expected to do much. A little boy, undeveloped boy, is not expected to do so much. But when it came to it, he just put three steps and he conquered, two steps, he conquered the whole universe. So Trivikram. So this is the Lord, Bhagavad Saraswati Thakur, this is our Lord we are worshipping. He is Trivikram. There's nothing impossible for him. The little boy, it's not possible to conquer the universe. But he did it with two steps. So urges preachers that when you're preaching, always have this understanding who we are serving. And you can accomplish anything. You have that complete conviction. Who is behind you? Who is that Lord that we are worshipping? Trivikram. He can do many, many uncommon things. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged or lose faith or anything like that. Krishna, our worshipful Lord, is Trivikram. He's not nothing is impossible for him. He can conquer the whole world in two steps. So why we cannot conquer some parts of the world by our preaching? He had direct experience of this also, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Maybe that's why he used that example a lot when he was preaching to his devotees, his disciples. Because he mentions in his biography that he was at the jog pit and he saw Panchatattva coming, Kirtan, with all the devotees. Six Goswamis were there, all the devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was there. And they said, you should give up your rattan now. He was performing very strict vows. Chaitanya Man. You should give up your vratas now and you should go out and preach. And they said to him that you don't have to worry for anything. Whenever you need money, we will send. As you need, we will send. We are all behind you. Whenever you need manpower, We will send. As you need, we will send. You don't worry. We're all behind you. The whole parampara is behind you. The unlimited Lord and all of his devotees are behind. So there's nothing you should worry about. You just go out and preach fearlessly, very fearlessly. And Krishna, he's unlimited. He will supply everything. He is Trivikram. He's very uncommon activity, so there's nothing you can. So you don't worry about anything. You just preach fearlessly. And we see that Bhaktisiddhanta was how much he achieved. He opened 64 temples in India and abroad. And of course, much more. He defeated so much of the upper sampradayas and all the things that were against the path of conclusions of pure bhakti. He was struggling all the time to establish pure Krishna consciousness, pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a struggle for him, but look how much he achieved in just a few short years. So this is Lord Vamanadev. So he took two steps of land and he conquered the whole universe. Shukracharya told his disciple that this is actually Lord Vishnu. He's asking you as a beggar for 3 paces of land. He's a Vishnu. He'll take everything from you. You don't give him. You just say no. There's nothing wrong with that. You say no. You don't want to give. No one will criticize you. But then Bali said, well, if he is Lord Vishnu and he's Mokaram Jagatapashtram, he's the Lord of everything anyway and the master of everything, and he's asking me, why shouldn't I surrender if he is Lord? So Shukracharya cursed him. You disobey my order, you go down to Patala Loka, down to the hellish planet. So then Bali Maharaj he surrendered everything to Krishna. Because Vamana said, I've taken 2 steps, you promised me 3, but I've got everything with 2. Where can I put my 3rd step? So he said, my vow is not broken. I still have my head. So you please put your 3rd foot on my head. And so he became glorious. So he's one of the Mahajanas. It's complete surrender. Atmani Vedanam. He surrendered everything to Krishna, to Vamanadev. And to fulfill the curse of the Shukracharya, he went to Patala Loka. Krishna accompanied him there. He said, I will stay there also as your doorman. I will be with you there in that planet. So it's better than the heavenly planets, actually, Patala Loka, that one. So Vamanadev lives there with, and Krishna is there also, so he's not separated from the Lord. So Vamanadev, but although he humiliated Bali in front of the whole universe, practically, it was a universal happening. He humiliated him like anything. But still he was very, very affectionate to him. And Bali's wife also spoke. And she was criticizing him, actually. she said, some people think that they've actually got something to give. This foolish person, he thinks he's actually got something to give. What has he got? Everything is yours, my Lord. And he's thinking he's got something to good, and he's surrendering everything to you, but he hasn't got anything anyway, so everything is already yours, my Lord. But still under the illusion, people are thinking, I have something to surrender. I have something to give to the Lord. So this is the initial stages of surrender then. Krishna says, sarvadharam parityaja mamikam. So it's a conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, so we think it's the final conclusion. Actually, it's the beginning point. You surrender everything. That's the beginning point of spiritual life. Then you can enter the Bhagavatam, which is dealing with bhakti rasa, the relationships. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy was talking Varnashram. What is perfection in life? He said, go on, go, say more. This is external. I hear you say something more. Go on, go on. He went through all different things. Then he quoted, sarvadhanam parityajam mamikam saranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's still external, go on. So, even surrendering everything to Krishna, he said, that's the external, there's still more to go, you go on further. So, we were on Prikram in the belt cord. Someone asked this question to Chaitanya Thakmaraj. That how, you know, for us, we're always hearing surrender, surrender. We have to, that's the final goal. We've got to surrender everything to Krishna. But Ramananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda, no, it's excellent. We should go further. So well, it seems like a contradiction. And Chaitanya Thakmaraj said, yeah, there's different aspects of surrendering. But for a neophyte devotee, who thinks he is the body, who thinks he has got many things, when he surrenders everything to Krishna, that's very, very good. But it's still external. He's only surrendering. He's surrendering what is already is his identification, that he was the body and he had a property and he had something to surrender to Krishna. So it wasn't. It's not very much, really. It's just the beginning of your spiritual life. You give everything up and you can actually engage in pure devotional service without the conception of being the controller or enjoyer of it. So Bali's wife was accusing him. He's a great soul and everybody's praising him, but actually he's not very intelligent. He thinks he can offer you something. Today is also the appearance day of Jiva Goswami. So I read something. So Sri Jiva Goswami was the son of Vallabh, who was the brother of Rupa and Sanatan. So he's Rupa and Sanatan are Jiva's uncles. And Vallabh, when Lord Chaitanya went to Ramakali and to see Rupa and Sanatan, and Vallabh was actually a devotee of Ramchandra. Rupa and Sanatan were devotees of Radha Krishna. But anyway, Mahaprabhu gave him the name Anupam Vallabh. He became known as Anupam. And this was, they were employed in the service of Hussain Shah. And so they were very rich. We know how rich when Rupa took all that gold. He had a boatloads of gold. He was extremely rich because so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakali to see Jiva and Rupa and Sanatan. And he said that Jiva was blessed by having the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, although he was just a little baby at that time. said that Lord Chaitanya kept his lotus feet on his head and blessed his child, saying he would be a great devotee in the future, great acharya. And Jiva always remembered that incident, even though he was a little baby. And as he grew up, he wasn't interested in like playing with other little boys or anything like that. Only if they were playing something connected with Krishna, he would bring all the games around to playing with Krishna. And he worshipped Krishna and Balaram deities, and he would make his offerings and everything. But then Rupa and Sanatan left, they went to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and went to Vrindavan, and Jiva was there with his mother. But he was, it was such a scene of separation. And then his father left his body also on the bank of the Ganga. And so they were living there lamenting, and it was so heart-rending that all the local devotees said, why doesn't Jiva go on pilgrimage? Why does he go to Navadvip to see Lord Nityananda? So he was very happy. So he went to Navadvip, and actually he had the darshan of Lord Nityananda Prabhu here in Shivas Thakur's house. Nityananda Prabhu would stay there. And again, Nityananda Prabhu was very merciful to him, he embraced him. And he also took him on Prikram. Therefore we get the Navadvip Dham Prikram by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is more or less the description of Nityananda Prabhu taking Jiva Goswami on the Navadvip Prikram. So he was revealing all of the Dham and everything to Sri Jiva Goswami. Then he ordered Jiva Goswami to go to Benares and study with Vachaspati, Madhusudan Vachaspati. He had heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Mukunda was also there, he heard. He told Madhusudan Vachaspati also. He heard. Then he went to Benares, and he was preaching there. He was trying. He was a little bit covered. He was trying to convert all the Mayavadis there. Anyway, Jiva studied under him, and he became known as, you know, he's one of the greatest scholars ever. Even today, his works are recognized by Sanskrit scholars. What's it called? Harinam? Yeah. Harinam? Huh? Harinam? Amrit Vyakta. Something like that. Okay. It's recognized even today, all the scholars, they recognize. The masterpiece, because everything he bringing everything round to Krishna, and so he's one of our greatest scholars, Prabhupada said ever. Prabhupada was in his room one time. He was talking about Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And he said, this Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he said, he is such a scholar. He said, what he gets out of this Bhagavatam, Prabhupada, it's like he had five mouths. He was just glorifying Vishwanath. And I was, well, you know, we all glorify Prabhupada. And suddenly I saw Prabhupada glorifying. This is how you glorify someone, you know, just like he had five mouths. And then he said, yeah, he's the greatest scholar since Jiva Goswami. So how great Jiva Goswami must be. Greatest scholar. So eventually he went to Vrindavan to serve with his uncles Rupa and Sanatan, and he became, after Rupa and Sanatana left also, he became like the Acharya, the foremost Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya. And he was the Shiksha Guru of Narottam Das and Srinivasa Acharya and Shamananda Bhakti Krishna Das. And there is a story one time that Balabhacharya from the Balabh Sampradaya, he came to see Rupa, and Rupa had just written, I think, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he said, "Let me see your book you've just written." He said, I'll go over it and edit it. And so he said, "Look, there's a few corrections we can make." So Rupa said, "Okay, you can make some corrections." So Jiva Goswami was angry at this. How he can find fault in Rupa Goswami's works, say that the corrections need to be made. So when Balabh went to take his bath, then Jiva also went with him, and he started to preach him and pulled out all these points that he said, and he refuted all of his points, and every argument he had he refuted. So Balabhacharya went back, he said, "I am very impressed with your Jiva Goswami. He has proved all those points that what I said, he's very, very expert. He has proven my points to be wrong. He has shown them." And Rupa Goswami became a little bit angry at Jiva. And he said, "Look, what do you think Vrindavan is for? To show off your scholarship? He's an elderly person. He's a guru to you. And you want to show off your scholarship?" And of course, Jiva Goswami had other intentions. Just like Narottam Das, like Srinivas and Shamananda, they became the potter selling clay pots and pan when the big Digvijay Panda was coming to defeat Narottam. they took the guys as pan wallers and pot makers. And when the opposing party came, they started speaking perfect Sanskrit to them. And wow, even the pan makers and the pot wallers speak Sanskrit. Now we're disciples of Narottam. But they came all scared, you know, they defeated anything they could say. That's their disciple. What happens when we meet Narottam? So they chickened out, kind of, and they... So they did it because Narottam would have probably said, "Okay, I'll sign it." You know? So they didn't want to have a Narottam humiliated. So in that, you know, that same kind of mood, he wanted to protect his guru and see the keep the integrity of his guru and the position of his guru. Anyway, Jiva feigned a little bit of anger at Rupa, said, "No, you simply come here to show off your scholarship and defeating the... Yeah, you should leave here, go home, you go to your home." So he left. He never went back to Bengal, but he went to a village there in Braja. I can't remember the name. Huh? Nandagram? He was near Nandagram. And said he lived in a crocodile hole. The crocodile would make a home in the hole in the bank of the Jamuna. So he was living in the hole, in the crocodile hole. And he was being very, very austere. And he was there in separation from Rupa and Sanatana, but he was still composing beautiful poems for Radha and Krishna. And he threw them in the Jamuna. As he composed them, he put them in the Jamuna. And they floated down the Jamuna. It just happened Sanatana Goswami was taking a bath there, and he saw this palm leaf come down, but is the writing was so beautiful. He was immediately attracted by the handwriting. He picked it up and took a beautiful handwriting. And then when he read it, it was really esoterical. Radha and Krishna. Wow, who could have written this? So then he understood it. Maybe that Jiva Goswami. So he went to do Madhukari. There, he was doing Madhukari. And so he's calling out, what do they call it? Ukshamdehi, whatever they say. Roti. What's the call they call? Anyway, he went there, called out, Ukshamdehi, give me some roti or something. And then again, Mataji, give me roti. Okay, wait, she's still making. Mataji, I cannot wait too long. Only the time of milking a cow, you should wait. So Mataji came out, why are you so impatient? Our Baba, he's not impatient. He never says anything. Why are you coming in so impatient? That who is your Baba? Our Baba is here living in the hole there. Let me see him. Sorry, Jiva Goswami, live, emaciated. He's like a skeleton, practically he was dead. So Sanatan took him back to where they were staying, and he went and he said, Rupa, what are the essential teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? He said, Jiva Daya. He said, then have mercy on this Jiva. Jiva Goswami, look, have mercy on this poor Jiva. Almost dead, so he nursed him with his own hands and fed him, and he got him well. He became strong again. But there were some envious people of Jiva Goswami, and they tried to defame him in many ways. And there's some instructive points here. Jiva Goswami. So there were people there, envious of Jiva Goswami. They made different accusations about Jiva Goswami, which are very offensive. And he points them out, so we know that if you ever hear these stories, you can know that they were made up by envious persons and the upper sampradaya people. One, it is said that a certain big Vijay scholar on a mission to amass mundane prestige came to Rupa and Sanatana and get their signature as an admission of defeat in debate. Jiva's gurus conceded defeat without any argument. That was Rupa and Sanatana. They just signed it. And the arrogant scholar, he then began to slander them. They are nothing, you are nothing more than ignorant fools. Then he asked Jiva, you can also sign your admission defeat. And Jiva Goswami, he took on the challenge to a debate with the puffed up Brahmin because of his blasphemous words against Rupa and Sanatana. To preserve the integrity of his spiritual master's reputation and demonstrated the ideal behavior of one who is Guru Devatma, who recognizes his guru as his worshipful deity. and his only source of life. So some ignorant Sahajiyas, however, say that Jiva's behavior was contrary to Mahaprabhu's teaching of being humbler than a blade of grass in the street. This is coming from the Sahajiyas. Why Jiva wasn't humble like Rupa and Sanatana? Therefore he's not Shinada Bhishani Chintaroro Bhishani. So this was their accusation. Why is the... He's not giving respect to others and demanding respect for oneself. So they say that Rupa Goswami chastised Jiva for this very reason and ostracized him for some time. And later he came back. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, these stories are bogus. Only when these enemies of the spiritual masters and the Vaishnavas received Krishna's mercy and began to see themselves as their eternal servant, then they would be able to receive Jiva's blessings and be able to understand what it really means to be humbler than a blade of grass and the giver of respect for. Only then will they be eligible to chant the holy names in the proper way. And here's another one. Some foolish Sahajiyas say that when Jiva first read Chaitanya Charitamrita with its clear and brilliant explanation of the divine devotional sentiments of Braja, he was afraid that it would hamper his own scholarly reputation, and he therefore threw the manuscript down a well in a spirit of mean-mindedness. Upon hearing of Jiva's action, Krishnadas Kaviraj was greatly shocked and immediately gave up his body. Fortunately, Krishnadas' disciple Mukunda had a copy of the original manuscript, and thus it was preserved and later published far and wide. Had he not done so, the Chaitanya Charitamrita would have been lost forever. This is another contemptible bit of invention based on inimical attitude toward the Guru and Vaishnava. It has no basis in reality, and there is no possibility of it being true. And another one. According to the other sense-obsessed fornicators, Srila Jiva Goswami should not be accepted as an authority because, in his treatise, he opposed the idea that the gopis of Vrindavan were married to other men, the Parakiya Vada, but rather he supported the Shwakiya Vada. They say that he cannot be accepted as a Rasika Bhakti, Bhakta or a devotee who is knowledgeable in divine sentiments. The fact is that during Jiva's lifetime, some of his followers demonstrated a preference for the Shwakiya Vada. Jiva recognized their limitations, and so for their benefit, and for the benefit of those in the future who will be able to unable to comprehend the transcendental nature of the Parakya Vada and would themselves take up adulterous relationships in imitation of Krishna, he gave credence to the Shwakiya doctrine. This is a sign of his acting appropriately as an Acharya. One should not take this as evidence of his being opposed to the transcendental Parakya Vada. However, for he is the topmost of Rupa Goswami's followers and one of Krishna Das Kaviraj's Goswami's spiritual teachers. So here, still goes on today sometimes, that they say Jiva Goswami, he was supporting Shwakiya. This means Krishna is married to the queen, that's a Swakya Rasa. Krishna is dancing with the gopis, the unmarried, already married to other so-called husbands. It's called Parikya. And this is the essence of Krishna's enjoyment. This is the original feature of Godhead. This Parikya Rasa. Krishna is enjoying out of wedlock these girls. Jiva Goswami, many of his disciples, they couldn't understand that. Why would Krishna do that? It seems to be against all morality. And they couldn't come to grips with it. They couldn't handle it, that why Krishna would do that. So, for them, he told some stories of how Krishna was actually married to Radharani and the gopis, how they were actually married. So he gave some instances for these people, and also for the Sahajiyas, who take Krishna's activities as a license that they can imitate his behavior and dance with other men's wives. So for these kind of people, he found research and found some pastimes where Krishna actually got married to the Radharani and all the gopis. But it wasn't, it was for a certain purpose. It says he was an acharya according to time and circumstance. They couldn't comprehend. And the Sahajas were misusing that. So for them, he composed these verses and showed them. Here is evidence from different Puranas and things like that. Here is evidence that Krishna was actually married. So there's no... He's not performing any kind of abominable activity or anything like that. Because he's married. That was the point of his revealing these pastimes. And he also writes, whatever I'm commenting of Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, I'm simply following Rupa Goswami's footsteps, and what I've compiled that is not following him, Rupa Goswami, is for another purpose. So he made a distinction. That's not, some of his writings, they were following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, and the other ones, they were for another, his other thesis for another purpose. So this was the indication that to stop the Sahajiyas and these students who couldn't comprehend how Krishna could be seemingly acting immoral, transgressing the laws of morality. He's establishing the truth about this. So the idea is, because we've just been through Radharani and we've heard a lot about Krishna's marriage. One class we heard how Krishna was married 3 times or 5 times, is it? Even we'd had a drama in the Samadhi, dance drama, Krishna getting married. But this is not, we shouldn't encourage this. As followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're understanding that Parikya Rasa is the highest thing. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. He didn't come to teach Bhakti. We came to give everything, but the main principle is this is the most esoteric understanding of the original personality of God. This is his chief delight, his chief happiness. So the devotees want to give Krishna his greatest happiness. So therefore, this is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, and this is what we also follow. These stories you won't find in Bhagavatam. Krishna got married. It's not in the Bhagavatam. And you never hear Prabhupada never mention how he got married. So this is. It was there for a certain class of people and for a certain reason. the acharya is doing it. It's not that we should, just because it's find some obscure thing in the Padma Purana it's Radharani Krishna. Someone was giving class quite a few years ago, and there was some big ceremony, kings, I'm not sure, maybe King Chitraketu or someone, like a big function was going on, and then how Radha and Krishna come flying through the air with chamras, waving chamras. It's there, and there's some majestic realms of it can be there, they do, but it's completely against Radha and Krishna, Nanda Kishore, he's the son of Nanda, they're village people. But sometimes these opulent pastimes are displayed in the Shastras according to time and circumstance. Another one, Radharani gave birth to an egg. Why an egg? Why I got birth to an egg? And she threw it away, so she was always criticized. You will never be called mother, because you're so cruel, you threw your own child away. So all these stories you don't hear in the Bhagavatam, but they're in Shastra somewhere, for some reason. But it's not that they're, just because they're there and it mentions Radha and Krishna, okay, I found this there, I can quote about it and talk about it in class, and all these marriage things, we can talk about them in class. It's not conducive for the proper attitude that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, that we're trying to follow in. And some of these pastimes also, they're coming from these Dwapara Yugas where the original Krishna is not coming. The original Krishna comes only once in the day of Brahma in the 28th millennium. And all the rest of the days of Brahma, the Dwapara Yugas, Krishna is coming, Radha is coming, but it's not. Jasoda is there, Vrindavan is there, but it's not the Parokya Ras, it's Shvakya Ras, they're married. And it's like Lakshmi Narayan. So all these other parts, they could be coming from those times when the original Krishna is not coming, but that Krishna is coming through the agency of Kiradakshaya Vishnu, who is the source of all the avatars in this world. The original Krishna comes by his own potency, he doesn't need to come through the agency of Vishnu. That the original Krishna comes in 28th millennium, once in a day of Brahma. Then he shows his Parikya Ras, and all the other times his Shvakya Ras. So all these stories, they're coming from, maybe coming from different millenniums when the original Krishna didn't come. So they're not very conducive for developing unalloyed devotional service. Pure devotional service and unalloyed. When Prabhupada talks of unalloyed, it speaks of the gopis in Vrindavan and their relationship with Krishna. This is unalloyed devotion. And we're supposed to be following in that footsteps. But if we're hearing all these stories, you may end up in Vaikuntha or somewhere, some part of Gokara. Because it becomes Swakya, we're worshipping Krishna in the Swakya Ras. So that means Gokara. You'll end up in Vaikuntha. So we have to be careful, simply because the stories are in the Shastra, it doesn't mean we have to. There's Shastras in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And Garuda Purana is in the mode of ignorance, and some of these stories that come from Garuda Purana. Vrinda Devi, she's asking Purnamasi. So many different Shastras contradict him. One says one thing, one says completely the opposite. How we can reconcile? Purnamasi said, yes, all those other Shastras, they can cheat you. But Srimad Bhagavatam will never cheat. It is the Amala Purana, the spot. It won't cheat. So we don't find all these things in Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami never spoke about all these things. The story of Shankachuda and Shubal, right? You were Shubal? What's the Sridham? Who became Shankachuda? Sridham. Huh? Sudham. Sridham, okay. Sridham. Came Shankachud, he married Vrinda Devi. And then Vishnu had to come, and the only way that the demigods could get to kill Shankarachuda was if they could make his wife unchaste. So Vishnu incarnated in the form. And so the demigods, they got their... It's quite a popular story in ISKCON, even they picture books about it and tapes. Prabhupada, it's not conducive for pure devotional service. We're hearing it all the time, it's not conducive, he said, because, you know, it means Sri Dham, he's got some sex desire in Vrindavan and he wants to marry Brinda Devi. She's already married in Vrindavan, she has a so-called husband. So it may have gone on in a different yuga, when the other Krishna come here, maybe these majestic aspect, majestic pastimes. So he's going to come and kill demons and... so therefore we have to follow in the footsteps of what Srila Prabhupada is, the mood of this, what Srila Prabhupada is presenting to us. He never mentions these things. Why we should mention them? Anyway, Srila Jiva Goswami is the greatest. Say, apostle, by his mercy, after Rupa and Sanatan left, and he got all their scriptures, he analyzed everything, all their teachings, put it in some in symmetrical order, and then presented all these books in like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compiled in some kind of symmetrical order. So today we have all this information about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes by the grace of Jiva and all the other great devotees. And so this is the how we should very strictly stick to the principles of our acharyas and not deviate at all. Slight deviation can cause havoc. So, as I said, we don't find these things in Prabhupada's books. And once Prabhupada in Calcutta, he was going to the Bhagavatar Gaudiya Math. They have a big library there. So he was leaving Calcutta Temple with Ribhadinanda Swami. And Ribhadinanda Swami said, Prabhupada, when we get there, can I buy a couple of books from the library? They got a big library. He said, what books you want? He said, Brahma Samhita and the Jiva Dharma. Prabhupada said, okay, you can get. He said, but actually, he said, my Guru Maharaj wrote all these books for me. So this is the position of the acharya. Anybody can write books. And that's good that they do write books, but it should be following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Otherwise, have a... Sri Jiva Goswami Pada Ki, Sri Vamana Deva Ki, Sri Prabhupada Ki, Shambhe da Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai Nithai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment? Question? It's late.
Yes.
You speak in mic and then...
Hare Krishna. When you mentioned that when Lord Vamanadev was born, he appeared in his form as Vishnu or Narayan with ornaments and the symbols. And we know that also, and you mentioned also that Lord Krishna, when he was born in Kamsa's jail, he also appeared like that. So why he doesn't appear like this when he takes birth from Mother Yasoda?
Krishna took birth from Yasoda. Krishna took birth from Yasoda.
He appeared as her son.
We hear that Mother Yasoda had twins. This is not explained in Prabhupada's books, maybe it's for this. We hear that.
We hear from?
I'm not sure.
Same thing, you never heard Prabhupada mention that, and it's not as Shukadeva Goswami mentioned that. Krishna is the son of Yasoda, then he doesn't have to leave Vrindavan, and Yasoda has every right to keep him. There's no reason for him to leave. He's born in the cow village, the cow days. Why would he need to leave? For his pastimes, he has to leave. So Vasudeva leaves. Performs the pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. It's necessary, that's part of his plan. So that was the son of Devaki. Vasudeva is the son of Devaki. So if Krishna was the son of Yasoda, he wouldn't have to leave Vrindavan. And all the Brajabhatsis, they're not thinking that Krishna was the son of Yasoda. Oh. The information is there from somewhere. But the acharyas are not, our acharyas specifically, not saying Shukadeva Goswami is not mentioned. Same thing, you may go on the wrong track. Yes, Rakuji.
Just small comment to this one. I didn't have any intention for this, but because Mataji already mentioned and you commented. Actually, in Bhagavatam, there is a verse where it says that Nanda Maharaj performed the ceremony of cutting the umbilical cord. Nanda Maharaj performed the ceremony of cutting of umbilical cord when Krishna was born. It's indirectly,
yeah.
It's not direct, but we can figure it out.
Yeah, it said Gokamaya was born as a sister of Krishna. So we know Yogamaya was born from, but elsewhere it says in Bhagavatam, Yogamaya was born as a sister of Krishna. So that means Krishna was also, in other words, the twins. It's indirectly there. He indirectly tells Nanda Maharaj that Gagamuni, your son is almost Narayan. Practically, he is Narayan. He tells him he is Narayan. But Nanda Maharaj is not accepting, you think, but he is not. Okay, you got further comments? let Mataji let her speak because she's got the mic.
Actually, it's another question I wanted to ask regarding the stages of surrender which you mentioned. You mentioned that the beginning stage when we surrender our external upadas or external identities, I am such and such, being in the consciousness that I have something to surrender, so I surrender to the Lord. So I am considering something is mine that I can surrender to the Lord. At the beginning stage of surrender, you mentioned this. And can you please elaborate on further stages of surrender? What are the stages actually?
I'm trying to surrender my false identifications and attachments. Chakotakamara said comment on the higher stages of surrender. But more or less it's your free will. For us, for a minute independence, when we're surrendering that in Krishna's service, only. Speak in the mic because we're going around the world.
Hare Krishna. Guru Dakshin. Jinnanivas Prabhu, you made a very good point there about the amount of information that's available in the Puranas and the amount of information that's in the Bhagavatam. And we know that the Bhagavatam is not the full version of all the universal affairs that is published in this age at this time, and it is the 28th cycle, right? Yeah. So we have a very good opportunity to understand things as they are. The technical problems of understanding the chit potency that we have of all of the information that may be available, including all of the Gupta hidden information, seems to me to be this reaction that we have today of over-information and confusion, therefore, and not being able to understand anything. Srila Prabhupada often mentioned about just sticking to the ISKCON, Gaudiya Sampradaya line, and not even bringing up or associating with his godbrothers. Specifically, I think, just to keep the communication simple and clear and clean. As we grow in an organization, and I certainly think that sectarianism is a vice, it's a bad thing, as we know, just like religions are a bad thing, to cut things up into sections and say we're the only way, or this is the way that truth is. We know from experience that truth is relative. There's a capital T, and everybody has a little bit of these small T's. So we can go on forever to argue these various aspects and positions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And surely he has been everything in all time. However, to keep things straightforward and simple at this time, just emerging from Kali Yuga, it's extremely important to toe the line and to stick with a clear set of goals from the communicator to the communicated, from the acharya to the disciples, rather than to, and it's not, perhaps it isn't speculation in terms of the chit potency of all time, it certainly can be shown to be true. However, is it valuable? Do you think that this is it in the area of speculation, therefore, and is it valuable for our own progress in devotional service. I mean, we have to draw the line there. Is this important for? And therefore dismiss the cluttered mind and the over-endeavor that's involved in that to seek out all this hidden rupa information. I don't think that Lord Chaitanya really tried to give everything. I think he really tried to keep it very straightforward relationships. And if we respect that his line is a hidden line, for very good reasons, then we can maintain our purity. Now, it's a statement, but it's also there's a number of questions in it. So I hand it back to you.
Thank you. Words of wisdom from the eye at Guru Dakshin Prabhu Ki. Yeah. Thank you. You can give my attention.
Krishna book that when a sage wanted to give a blessing to gopis, they said, can we have Krishna as our husband? And they even performed this Katayani Vrata to become Krishna's wives. So I would like you to explain, like, it seems that the gopis who are in Swakiya Rasa, they are not in Parakiya Rasa, they aspire for Swakiya Rasa. It seems like they are in the Parakiya Rasa, but they are aspiring to become wives of Krishna.
Sorry, I didn't quite get it. Is there a question or?
Yeah, the question is how to understand that the gopis, they are in the Parakiya Rasa, but they're longing to become wives of Krishna, which is Swakiya Rasa.
No, that's natural. The young gopis, they love Krishna from the beginning of their lives. They wanted to marry him. It's just a natural for a young girl to do that. She wants her husband. She wants to be her husband, so she wants Krishna. It's a natural feeling for them as young girls. But as they got older, then they realized the significance of the Parakiya Rasa. This is the way Krishna planned it, this is what he wants. It's natural for young girls. He's the hero, so they want, they're growing up, they want to be him to be their husband. Okay. Actually, Prabhupada said in Calcutta they had opened the Chaitanya Research Center. Prabhupada said, what is this research center? Research work has already been done. We have the Goswamis and the Acharyas. What does it mean, research center? So research has already been done. So we simply have to follow the the Goswamis and the Acharyas. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi.